Welcome to Advances Podcast Series, part of the APS Publications channel. Hi, I'm Jamie Jones, and I'm the producer of this series. In this series, the authors address four key talking points provided by Editor-in-Chief, Dr. Barb Goodman. Whether you are at home or on the road, I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, my name is Dr. Lourdes Fortepiani, and I am a professor at the University of Incarnate Word Rosenberg School of Optometry.
And my name is Dr. Sue Marsh, and I am an associate professor at Washington State University in the College of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences.
We both are the authors of the paper, Innovative Techniques for Developing an Inclusive Teaching Environment, that was recently published in Advances in Physiology Education. This paper is based on a symposium that we both chaired at the 2022 Experimental Biology Meeting in Philadelphia and was sponsored by the teaching section of APS.
As we both teach in professional healthcare programs, we have both noticed that the diversity within our classrooms was changing and that it was time that we examined whether we were teaching in ways that would be inclusive of all students. This is why we thought it was necessary to explore the DEI initiatives that are currently being used in higher education.
Not too long ago, we could find offices for DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in almost every educational institution. But with the political climate banning DEI initiatives in several states across the US, this institutional support is vanishing quickly. As physiology educators, this makes things very challenging, as our students are the next generation of scientists, and we need to be more inclusive with teaching approaches that maximize their learning experience before they join the workforce. We therefore organized the symposium at the 2022 Experimental Biology Meeting to explore inclusive initiatives currently implemented in higher education and share the outcome in this paper to reach a wider audience.
The speakers were Drs. Brian Dewsbury, Mara Livesey, Caitlin Cooper, and Daniela Terson de Palaville, and all were experts in different aspects of inclusivity, including working with students with visible and invisible disabilities, diverse race and sexual orientation, and language barriers. Our paper has summarized the speakers' main points and begins by discussing the importance of addressing the history of physiology as a discipline and developing an in-depth self-awareness of our own biases.
We also examine the needs and experiences of specific student populations to develop a more student-centered learning environment. For example, active learning is widely utilized as an effective engagement tool that can promote inclusion. However, it can exclude the students that feel threatened or not welcome in the class dynamics, or even in the physical classroom space used for active learning activities.
Another goal for educators should be ensuring that all course materials can be accessed and used by all students. We typically wait for a class to begin or for accommodation requests to arrive before assessing what our students might need to be successful. A more proactive approach would be to ensure that all course materials adhere to universal design principles and that we use open education resources whenever possible.
Instead of singling out or emphasizing their diverse identities, our aim should be to cultivate a sense of belonging for every student in the class. Moreover, the tools used to address disabilities can also be advantageous for students from various cultural and language backgrounds. For instance, everyone can benefit from captions and recordings. As an illustration, I have incorporated captions into all my lectures and, when possible, recorded them.
I tend to find that my students all learn in various different ways, so I try to make sure that my course materials will suit as many students as possible. I prepare written study guides and record videos, and my active learning sessions incorporate techniques such as concept mapping to connect physiological concepts. I also have students that don't feel comfortable asking questions, so I make a point of checking in with them individually during class time to see if they need help.
So we summarized all these recommendations in for physiology educators that to consider as they either plan or revise existing courses. And we first mentioned that you need to be intentional about how and what content is taught. We also need not to make assumptions about who our students are in the classroom. 3, not being afraid to introduce a student to difficult subjects, not in the complexity of the subject, but the implication that that subject can have. 4, designing a pedagogical approach to include all students. 5, being transparent about our own personal intentions. And 6, adjusting an approach that it really isn't working for both teacher and students. We also strongly suggest that instructors visit the American Physiological Society Center for Physiology Education website, as inclusive teaching is one of the central themes, and they have numerous resources that complement the issues and suggestions discussed in our paper.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was brought to you by Advances in Physiology Education. If you would like to hear our latest episodes, please visit our publications homepage at www.journals.physiology.org.